Hey folks, I'm Matt Major from Growth Mode Content, and it is my privilege to join my good friend Christine here to co-host another episode of the Details in the Deal. This podcast, Christine, first of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
Or welcome. Thank you for having me back, I guess I should say. This is your show. I do want to say, though, from the Growth Mode Content side, just as a quick side note, this is one of our most popular shows. This is the one that when we go out in the community and people are talking about all the different things they see and everything, all of them mention Christine, and they all say, oh, we saw Christine's videos and we loved it and we learned about this or that. And it's so awesome to have you here.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Everyone's been really supportive, and I've enjoyed it. I wasn't sure whether I would or not in the beginning, but I really am enjoying it. And it's fun that a lot of people want to come and join the podcast too.
That's the most fun about it, you know, and that's, you really hit the ground running. We've seen this with a lot of folks where they had the very same, concerns. They were nervous. They sit down for 10 minutes and take to it like a duck to water, and you've definitely done that.
Thank you.
And you've created a great, interesting show. It's one of my most favorite shows because we get to talk about not only business, but really neat properties. And I think I've mentioned this to you in the past that I sort of dream in commercial real estate. I love looking at these things, especially older ones, maybe things that were special purpose built for something really unique, and the things that are available today, and just dream a little bit about, what could be there, what type of business, what would be neat in that facility. And you get to do that for a living. So I'm always a little jealous.
Yes. Well, and it's cool because there's a lot of older buildings being repurposed now. It's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Repurpose them. And whether they're apartments or retail or condominiums or hotels, I've never seen so many great opportunities. We'll talk about some of them in the podcast.
It's exciting. Yeah. I'm really excited. And like I said, the response to this has been great.
Thank you.
I want to say thank you to all the listeners, the viewers. I'm never sure what we call these folks anymore, but the audience that's enjoying Christine's incredible content.
Well, it's funny that you would say that because I don't know how to describe what I'm doing. Am I filming? Am I videoing? What do we say today?
Yeah, I mean, technically you could say we're podcasting.
We're podcasting.
That's kind of an all-encompassing thing. I'm recording. I'm doing a show. I'm doing a cast. It's all these terms. I've been doing this for a while, and I still don't know the right words. So I guess
as long as we're having fun, I guess that's all that matters.
That's
right?
The whole thing is, we're growing businesses, we're telling people about other businesses, other opportunities. Which, speaking of which, let's dive right in, my friend. Let's talk about what's happening with Christine in your business and your company.
Thank you. It's been a very busy spring, coming off of a really busy winter, so that's exciting. We just got final approval from the town of Cicero on a building that I've been working on the lease for about 6-7 months now.
Wow.
And great new tenants from the Buffalo market, Buffalo and Rochester, Stellar Roofing, moving into a building that I leased on Island Road in Cicero. Beautiful, brand new building, 6,200 square feet. I think we talked about it before that the lease was coming. But now the building is occupied. We have a certificate of occupancy. We had to go through a lot to do it. Two or three planning board meetings, a town board meeting in Cicero. There were some covenants that needed to be removed.
Is that normal?
It's not uncommon.
Okay.
It all depends upon the deal. Now, if this was the fourth or fifth tenant in the building, probably wouldn't be any issue at all.
I see.
It was a brand new building. There had been some covenants signed in order to get the building permit, and they needed to be adjusted. So the town of Cicero was very interested in what type of tenant was going to go in there. They wanted to have a little control over it. So we met all their needs. We're doing a little bit of tweaking this month to get the final certificate of occupancy, but it's there. And they were very complimentary of the building. They just wanted a few things done on it.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember when we talked about this previously and looking at the building, absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, one of the nicest buildings I've ever seen.
And a roofing company, you said. They're going to be spoiled, I think, as roofing companies go. I don't think most of them have a facility like this one. So
I think they walked in the door and fell in love.
I can imagine.
And their people are mostly out in the field, but they have salespeople who will work in the office and some admin people. And I think they wanted to come into the Syracuse market and have something they'd be really proud of.
Yeah.
And they're doing commercials on TV and spending money in the marketplace. So we would love to see that.
Yeah. No, that's phenomenal. It's great to hear that it's finally moving forward. I remember you talking about it previously, and you know, those are the types of things that I think people should hear more of, because, you know, when I think of it, oh, there's a building for sale, I'm going to go buy it and end of story, right?
Right.
But there's so many of these things that you can run into. And if you don't have a professional like yourself who's versed in these things, good luck.
Well, I think it helps to have someone who's been through it before.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe knows, you know, the people in the town, and it doesn't hurt, and knows the attorneys who know the people, knows the engineers that know the people. That's really important at these meetings. The engineer who was there the other night was representing 5 or 6 different companies and clients that night. I mean, he really knows the town, and he knows what they're looking for, and knows how to present it in a way that's going to make them approve it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to also just give a shout out to Ironhorn Enterprises, who brought the tenant in and co-broke down the deal. They did a nice job, and it's always appreciated when somebody, you know, brings someone forward.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And you work together with a lot of organizations, right? And I think that's one thing that's kind of interesting about your industry, even more than any others, is the amount of collaboration with folks who, you know, the rest of us in this industry almost, you know, might consider like competition.
Right.
But everybody needs each other in your business, right?
And we are competitors. There's no question about it. But we're hopefully friendly competitors.
Yeah.
And we also, I've always taken the pitch that I'd rather have half of something than nothing. So if I'm representing a building and I have a tenant, someone else has a tenant, I'd like them to bring it forward, and vice versa, of course. And you want to work with people that you enjoy working with, too. That's really important. And to live up to your obligations, too.
Sure. Sure. And it just makes your offerings even that much better, right? And you can draw upon those things.
Yeah. Time kills deals, as I've said before. And so you want to move things along as fast as you can.
But before we talk about other people's deals, let's talk about some more things that are happening with you.
Sure.
You've got a horse farm or something?
I do.
Tell me about this.
It's very exciting. I've never managed something like this before. I can't tell you everything about it because it's not officially on the market yet, but it will be in about 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Hopefully by the time people see this, it'll be on the market. Ooh. So call me.
Breaking some news.
It's north of Syracuse. I can say that, about halfway between Syracuse and Watertown. Probably one of the nicest barns I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
It'll house multiple horses, and it will, and it's gorgeous. The wood is varnished 8 times in it. There is a room upstairs for groomers and for the trainers.
Wow.
The grounds are gorgeous. There's a training ring. There's multiple paddocks for the horses, a full 1-bedroom apartment attached to it. Very, very nice, all open floor plan. And so if someone wanted to buy it and live there, they could. There's also a couple of acres for sale next door to the building, next door to the farm, where if somebody wanted to, let's say, build their dream house, they could do that and then be, you know, a couple, 3 acres away from their barn.
Wow.
I can't wait to show you. I know we're going to present one picture of a horse that's running around, but as soon as I can show all the pictures, I just absolutely can't wait, because it's going to be it's perfect for somebody who's looking for, you know, not too big but not too small of an operation. And you could definitely rent out the stalls. They have a hayloft upstairs that has holes in the hayloft over each of the stalls, so the hay can just come down right into the stall.
Oh, wow.
You're not taking it up and down the stairs. They have conveyor belts to bring the hay upstairs for storage. Beautiful tack room. Fences that you'd be proud to have around your operation. And across the street from a nice restaurant, too. So yeah, that's convenient for people.
Wow. And is it really the whole property, or is there actually like a business as well that would go along with that?
So there's not an existing business there now, because the woman travels a lot, the lady who owns it. And so she closed it down a few years ago, but you could easily bring it back up. And I think if you put an ad in wherever one puts ads for such things now.
Sure.
And said, I have stalls for rent. You wouldn't have any problems renting them out.
I was going to say, I can't imagine there's too much competition for that sort of thing if you're doing it well.
If you're doing it well, and I think that there, you know, there are a surprising number of barns in the area. I drove around there, and but I think a lot of them are for people who are running their own farms and their own operations.
Gotcha.
And this one would be perfect for somebody who wants to really have a nice little business.
Yeah.
And not be too far away.
This is what I'm talking about. You get so many neat, you know,
it was such
unique
fun.
Things.
It was it was a beautiful sunny day. My pictures show blue skies. It was just kind of the perfect time to be there.
That's awesome.
And as soon as I can provide all the information, I will.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
That's great, Christine. And then from housing a bunch of beautiful horses to housing a bunch of people, right. You've got another big apartment unit in the Rochester area. Is that right?
Yes. Just waiting for some final expense numbers from the owner of 29 units of apartments in Rochester, in the city of Rochester. Not probably 10 minutes, 12 minutes to downtown Rochester. The owner is ready to make his next moves. And I think it'll sell fast. I already have a few people who are interested, and they don't even know the address yet.
Wow. And you know, when you have something like this, this isn't, you know, like a new construction or something on spec. This is an existing place with tenants that already pay rent and everything, right?
Yes, there's a cash flow.
That's...
Yes, income and expenses, and that does help.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I can imagine. Does that, when you're going to, on the other side of the deal, say I want to purchase a place like that, is that something that's taken into account with financing and banks where you go, listen, there's cash flow already for this thing? And, you know, does that help, I would assume?
It does. It absolutely helps. Usually banks will look for 2 to 3 years income statements.
I see.
And so, you know, you might buy a vacant building and that just makes it harder to finance. And you certainly are not going to get as much financing typically for a vacant building as you would for one that, in this case, I think this one's at least 80% occupied now.
Is it any easier? And what I mean by that is, are banks more willing to loan on something like this? Or is it the same pretty much process whether I was to go buy a factory?
A lot of times banks don't understand the businesses they're looking at.
Gotcha. Where,
but they do understand real estate. And one of the things about real estate is that they can take a first mortgage position on it, where in businesses often there's a mortgage on the building already. There might be financing on the equipment. It's a lot more complicated typically. So whether it's a multi-tenant industrial building or an apartment building or a hotel, if you've got a history, that really does help.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's so neat. When you show something like this, obviously so many of these properties we've talked about that you have are these massive multiple units. You know, this one's almost 30. You have a lot of others in that size, bigger, things like that. Does a prospective buyer want to go through every apartment?
Some have.
Yeah.
It's not typical, I would say. I usually give the rent roll to the prospective buyer. This is what during the due diligence period.
Sure.
You know, we'll show 2, 3, 4 apartments before they make an offer.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to disturb the tenants all the time, especially
right.
if it's occupied. But I've had 200 unit properties where they wanted to go through every apartment. And you almost never get them to every one because the lock isn't going to work somewhere or somebody's not going to be home or whatever the situation is. But the but typically they would want to look at 10% to 20%, and then a representative variety of apartments, 1 and 2 and 3 bedrooms,
yeah.
different styles. And then I give them the rent roll. I said, you tell me what apartments you want to see, because I don't want to set it up. I don't want to say, oh, you know, she planned this in advance and 20 out of the 100, they're the best 20 out of 100.
Right.
You know, you don't want to, you hope not to walk into a mess, but,
sure.
you know, people are people. And,
yeah.
and I find that the majority of people in the industry understand. You know, they're not looking to see your housekeeping, you know, within the apartment. They're looking to see, is there a stove and refrigerator and dishwasher? Are the utilities working? What does the furnace look like? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I like commercial real estate also, is because we don't really generally get into the minutia. It's more of a big picture.
Well, that's, you know, kind of been my experience just buying homes, right, is you have the inspector come in after you do it, and they go over everything with a fine-tooth comb down to there's a scratch in this paint in the living room
right.
sort of deal. And I could just only imagine with a place like that where, of course, you have so many other people responsible for the spaces, and it's just very interesting to me that, you know.
You have a lot of people in and out of the buildings, too. I know I sold a building up on James Street a few years ago, and they just painted the hallway, and someone came up with their bike, and the pedals of the bike scratched along the door. It wasn't dry yet.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's really hard sometimes when you have so many people living in a building to really control that. Most buyers understand that. They're, again, looking at the bigger picture, and they're not looking, oh, does a burner not work on the stove? They're looking for the stove.
Sure.
Yeah.
Roofs and things like this, I'm assuming, is...
Roofs are huge.
Yeah.
That's a big expense. That's something that the appraisers will really look at, too.
Gotcha.
And so something to keep in mind is, you know, what will the appraiser's eyes look at?
Do most of these places, like in units like this, are they all separate utilities, or is it... Do a lot of these places still do sort of a combined, and then the... the landlord works it in, you know, those sorts of things.
I would say in the newer properties, they're mostly all independent. They're all, gotcha. They're all paid for by the tenants, the electric and the gas. The older properties, often they will have a single boiler down in the basement or, you know, one per floor. And so you may find that the heat is included in your rent. And often the electric is not. Gotcha. Because they'll have a separate meter for if the heat is gas, they'll have a separate meter for the electric. So that you'll often find you'll go into a building, you'll find 30, 40, 50, 100 meters for electric and maybe one or two gas meters.
Gotcha.
Again, depending upon the age. Water is tricky. Some of the municipalities won't let you divide that up, or they don't want to work individually with the tenants. They would rather have the landlord be responsible for that.
Sure.
But there are some meter programs out there now for water.
Wow, that's interesting to me. Is it, when you go to rent, do you find that one way or the other is more attractive in terms of all-inclusive versus you pay your own utilities?
Absolutely. A lot of people are on a budget.
Yeah.
And they want to know what their monthly costs are going to be for the next 12 months. So you include the heat in their rent.
Yeah.
They love that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you got to be careful that windows don't get left open. And
right.
Air conditioning isn't on competing against the furnace, that sort of thing.
Sure.
But if you have responsible tenants, it's a good way to go. And yeah. people love it.
Just simplicity is why, like you said, in I wasn't even thinking budget wise, but it makes absolute sense. You know, every month this is what it costs to be here.
Right.
That's very attractive. So that's interesting.
And then on lease renewals, you have to review it and be transparent about what utilities are.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, National Grid's talking about raising utilities 20% in the next 3 years.
Right.
So that's a big number and not something that most property owners can just eat.
Yeah. No, we're going to have to get a bunch of hamsters on wheels or something here soon.
That's right.
I don't know what.
But fortunately, things are becoming more energy efficient, and that's important too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Christine, we've been talking a little bit about some of your most recent endeavors, but there's a bunch of other things kind of happening in the region in this market, I guess you would say. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that are happening. It looks like we got some stuff out in Utica.
Yes, definitely. So let's work east to west.
Sure.
Okay. And these are not necessarily my listings, but these are things I just think are very interesting happening in the marketplace and in marketplaces that I work in.
Yeah.
And any kind of growth and development is usually good for everybody 100%. Involved in those marketplaces. So I know you're from the Mohawk Valley,
yes.
Right? And the Dunlop Factory, if you're familiar with that, in Herkimer, is being renovated into apartments. And it used to be a yarn mill. Way, way back. It was built in the 1800s and then became a major manufacturer for Dunlop tires. And it's now going to be an apartment building with mixed use development in the future, including a hotel and commercial.
Wow.
And one of the things I think there's a lot of cool things about this project because it's old mill building and there's so many of those in the Mohawk Valley and people have done great things and will continue to do so. But it's going to be called River Lofts. And it is being designed by the architect who did the Rainbow Room at Rockefeller Center.
Oh, wow.
Which until it kind of was killed by COVID, was the place for special dates and, you know, fancy dinners and post and pre-event gatherings.
Gotcha.
And I just think that this gentleman's interested in coming to the Mohawk Valley and making an investment. Really realizes what people thought of Rockefeller Center when it was being built,
right.
Something new and different. And he's looking at this old building and looking at the charm and coming up from New York City to do this job. And I just think that's very, very interesting.
I completely agree with you. That is really neat.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, this is something that we've been hearing a little bit about this trend, and you talked about the mixed use and the fact that there's a hotel. What I've heard is a lot of these new buildings now, you go and you stay at the hotel lobby is actually on the fifth or sixth or seventh floor,
right?
Because there's all these other things, houses, apartments rather, and shops and things on these other floors that you wouldn't necessarily expect in the same building as a hotel.
Yes.
But the hotel then starts up above. Is that we seeing that as a trend all over the place?
I think it is a trend. I think that especially in the post-COVID era, people have to be very aware of revenues and also diversifying. I mean, the hotel business was decimated during COVID. The apartment business, although it was hard to collect rents in some cases, occupancy was very, very high.
Yeah.
And you know, had its share of problems, but it was better off in some ways than some other businesses because it wasn't completely shut down. So this is going to have retail spaces. They're talking about a coffee shop. And yes, we don't really know where they're going to put the what we would call the check-in desk, but very well could be above all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, and that's and I think that's a very New York City thing too.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a very interesting concept.
Right. And we'll see more and more creative use of buildings, I believe.
That's great news to me.
Yes, definitely.
You know, I'm down for all of that. If we want to travel a little further east down the thruway, to the, as my seventh grade science teacher would say, the big city of Herkimer.
Oh, yes.
Just technically a village. you got some projects down there and some more listings and things happening there, right?
I do. I have a listing that we talked about before on Main Street in Herkimer.
Yeah.
The county office building, it's part of the county offices, as well as Catholic Charities has their offices in there. So it's almost 100% occupied. And I think it will benefit from the monies that are coming into Herkimer now. There's downtown initiative grants from the state, and the governor was just in the Mohawk Valley and announced new monies for buildings in Boonville and Herkimer and Richfield Springs and other places that people may or may not have been to in the Mohawk Valley. Cooperstown's getting some money for an old bat factory, which seems very appropriate for Cooperstown.
Yes.
So there's a lot of cool things happening. And I just think that it's been kind of sleepy for a while, and all of these things will benefit and people will hopefully be coming back to the Mohawk Valley.
Yeah. I completely agree. You know, obviously, as we mentioned, I'm from that area, so I guess you could say I'm a little biased. But the reality is, as we talk about Micron, and we haven't even gotten on the far, far side in Albany, not quite the scale of Micron, but a lot of very huge similar things in the chip industry are booming on that end. And the Mohawk Valleys are just right in the middle of both these places.
Absolutely. And there already is technology in the Mohawk Valley.
Yeah.
Chip factories and a lot of things that are happening in downtown Utica are because of what's happening there. And they have a new hospital in Utica, which is, you know, it opened last year. But I would consider it's the newest hospital in upstate New York, without question. We haven't had new hospitals built in decades.
No.
And we can tell that sometimes. But the... to me, that was a huge sign that they were building a new hospital. And now, you know, doctors and nurses and other staff will come in and live there and need housing.
Right.
So it's all very cyclical, and it's only good.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's great. Yeah. Going the other direction for a moment, our neighbors in Rochester are ranked, number fifth in the country as one of the hottest real estate markets?
Number five out of 1,600 counties that were surveyed. And there's other cities in upstate New York are that way, too.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it has to do with the growth of pricing. Housing prices have gone up. And that's a fabulous thing. It's also causing some problems, which we'll talk about a little bit later too, for affordable housing. But I think to be number five in the country in what used to be considered a Rust Belt area is pretty exciting. And it's spreading to other areas too.
No, it's great. The old everybody's leaving New York mantra is long since dead.
Absolutely. If people are coming back, I think they're leaving, getting experience in other areas, seeing how green the grasses can be here. And that's exciting. And they're bringing back things they've learned in bigger cities and different cities. And I think that's actually healthy.
I agree with you. You know, and the other thing is I think we're starting to see more and more of the stop of the, what do they call it, the brain drain, you know, where we get these students from locally and from other areas that come to our incredible educational institutions, and then they go to other places.
Right.
I think we're getting to the point where we're retaining a lot more of those young people, which is incredible for all assets, you know, everything that's happening here.
It's crucial. We're in order to be able to, fund Medicare and Medicaid, which the states have roles in funding. It's not just the federal government who does that. We need to have state taxes, and you know, we're certainly looking at cuts in those sort of things anyway. And I think being in New York State and the type of state that we are, you'll find that the state will pick that up.
Yeah. Speaking of the state, there's some discussion about some housing voucher program changes.
Yes, and a lot of that has to do with some of the cuts in Medicare and Medicaid.
Gotcha.
And so, people's expenses have gone up, and Section 8 housing, which has been funded for decades, is looking at cuts.
Wow.
So this new funding will look at people who are homeless and what, you know, what can we do to provide housing for them? And also people who do have jobs, but their income is not keeping up with what the cost of housing is today. So I think we'll see that come out next year from the governor. She's very committed to affordable housing.
Gotcha. No, that's good that we're getting some attention on that.
Most definitely. And I think it will help because you want to have safe housing for people, and you have to provide an incentive for the property owners to provide that safe housing. It has to be affordable for both sides.
Yes.
And so if you can help, there's a lot of tenants that are great tenants that are vouchered.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Section 8 or the new program, and you know that that money's coming in. And you know that that you can count on that by the 5th of the month, and the tenants may pay a small portion of it. But I've had tenants in buildings that I've owned who said, "Look, I really value my Section 8 housing, and I want to be a good tenant." And because there's so many people on the waiting list that if you're not a good tenant and you you legitimately do bad things on the property, landlord reports you, you're off the list.
Gotcha.
And then you may never get back on the list because of how many people are on it.
I see.
So it's very important.
So it's, you know, a lot of people, I think, have a negative connotation about that. And what you're telling me is just the opposite.
Right.
And that's great for folks to understand.
I mean, you could have a luxury non-subsidized apartment and be a bad tenant and not pay your rent.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't like to broad stroke people that just because they're getting the subsidy means that they're bad. Absolutely not.
Right.
And this helps to take care of children. Sometimes there's extenuating circumstances, and it helps. I've had very good experience with Section 8 tenants.
I very small story, and we'll move forward, but just, you know, to put things in perspective, when I was my son, when he was 21, he worked at a part-time job down in Florida, making I think $17 an hour. His rent that he shared with somebody, $1,900 a month.
Wow.
When I was his age, I made the same hourly wage, and I rented a house for myself for $450 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just incredible how, you know, we talk about the price of real estate, but the wages haven't matched. So,
right.
You know, folks need a little help, and it's not because, you know, they did anything wrong. They're just going through life. So,
right. Well, and they have to be responsible.
Yeah.
There's no question. And I think that's a good thing.
Yep. 100%.
To be a responsible tenant and a responsible landlord too. It's a two-way street.
No, that's great. So speaking of two-way streets.
Yes.
There's a big one.
Yes.
That happens to go through the center of Syracuse, and it's getting I don't know if you call it a facelift or a complete remodel or whatever, but for those who haven't figured it out, we're talking about Route 81, massive projects that are now taking place after massive debate.
Yes. Oh, very much so.
We finally figured out a way we're not building a tunnel.
Right.
Much to the chagrin of some folks. But
Or a sky train.
Yeah. No, that would have been neat. But Christine, tell us a little bit about this I-81 project and everything that's around it.
So it's very interesting. And I think that it's been going on for a while now. So it's easy to sort of forget about it. But if you're out driving, you certainly know about it.
Yep.
So the Route 81 project, basically the big part of it is that the downtown part of 81 is going to is coming down to the ground.
Yeah.
And in its time, you know, it was built in the late 50s, early 60s. And it's not only is it beyond its really life from a safety point of view, but it doesn't meet any of the current codes.
Sure.
And that's not abnormal. This happens all over the country.
Yeah.
But you'll see San Francisco's done it, and other cities have done it where they've brought their highway down downtown, basically.
Yeah.
So when this was originally built, it really separated the university and the medical centers from downtown. It separated right through a very well-known African-American community, the 15th Ward, and really changed neighborhoods. You know, now people are living under the shadow of the highways. And
yeah.
I don't think anybody would agree that that's a
good
thing, whether it's the shadow or the exhaust or what. But, you know, you have thousands of families living there, and many of them are going to move now. And so it'll be rebuilt. There will be new development opportunities on either side of the community grid, what they're calling the community grid downtown. And the subsidized housing, which is primarily part of Syracuse Housing Authority, will be dispersed in other parts of the city.
And when we say bring it down, what we're talking about is really, for anybody who's not familiar, I don't know who wouldn't be familiar listening to this, but if you're not familiar, you know, it's kind of like a raised, almost like a bridge that goes up above the city, and they're going to bring it down to ground level and make like a boulevard, right? Is that
right, like a boulevard.
Kind of an accurate description?
Yes, and it will be two-way, yes.
Yeah, so you'll have businesses where right now off the side is just, you know, off the side. You're going to have regular
off ramps.
Shops yeah. and things, right?
Yeah, there'll be shops. There'll be housing. I think there will be different levels of housing, and there'll mm-hmm. be mixed-use housing. There's a gentleman who built a Dunkin' Donuts along there many years ago, and it's just a partial – it's what I would call a partial Dunkin' Donuts,
yeah.
strictly drive-through, right? But yeah. I thought he was brilliant because he saw what was happening. He's willing to be patient. It's a very busy Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, I was going to say he's doing all right right now.
He's doing okay. Yeah, I think he is. But I got a coffee there today, to be honest, and I think that you'll see businesses like that. You'll see other types of coffee shops.
Sure.
We don't really know who those businesses are yet,
yeah.
but you have thousands and thousands of people who work on what we call the Hill, which is University Hill, where the medical centers and the mm-hmm. and Syracuse University are, and they all need services. They want them to be convenient, and
yeah.
people want to walk to work. Right now, if you walk to work from any of the apartments downtown and along Harrison Street, you go under the bridges and you kind of take your life in your hands.
Yeah.
I've watched, you know, if you turn right to get onto 81 to go south, you have to not only watch the traffic, but you have to watch the pedestrians, and hopefully they're watching you too.
Yeah, those poor folks. And yeah. you see a lot of doctors and nurses
yes.
that are just trying to get to work at the hospital, and they got to cross that treacherous.
And medical students who look like they've been working many hours, you know.
Yeah.
I always kind of feel like a troll when I walk, because I have walked from the hospitals downtown.
Sure.
And it's not a good feeling, really.
Yeah.
And it's going to totally change people's feelings about walking.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not very pedestrian friendly. But what I'm really excited about, though, is just the improvement to housing in that area. And I think that people will feel better.
Yeah.
And we'll have, there'll be trees and grass and parks and basketball courts and
right.
things that they really just don't have now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting. So what they'll do is from the south of the city, I live south of Syracuse, they'll put people, if you're not coming into the city, they will encourage you to take what we call 481 now.
Yeah.
Route 41, which will become 81 around the city. And then they will have a downtown 81 designation for the people who are coming into the city.
Gotcha.
So that will make a big difference in the traffic. You know, you're
yeah.
not going to take all the traffic that's passing through the city now.
Yeah.
Down, you know, to the community grid or to the
lower
level.
I think that's what a lot of people kind of thought.
Yes. They're also going to create more exits off of 81.
Sure.
Which is, so right now we really have a backup if you get off at the, if you know the Adams and Harrison
exit.
Oh, it's
the worst.
It's one lane, two lanes in certain parts. If it's icy and snowy, which will happen on occasion here in Syracuse,
yeah.
it's dangerous. You know, you find yourself sliding down it, and then you have all the people crossing too. So there'll be three or four more exits to get to those areas off of 81, which
that'll
will be
great.
That'll make a huge difference. We won't have the snarl points that we have now.
Yeah, that whole area. When I say that whole area, really all of downtown Syracuse is going to change radically with all the, you know, the new buildings that they've built on Harrison, whether it's the new Tech Garden or the place across the street that's being remodeled and,
yes.
and was just sold, and new hotels that are going up in that area, new highway with this grid. I mean, it's just it's hard to imagine what it's going to look like in the not too distant future here. It's going to be radically different.
Very much so today. And it's in my lifetime, it's always been this way.
Yeah.
So it will be very different to see that change. And I'm excited about it. I know change is scary for some people. I think in this case, it's very exciting. And I think it'll be good for all the neighborhoods surrounding it.
No, absolutely. It's going to be a really neat thing. And bring some. I feel like it's just going to bring some light. You know,
yes.
you're down there. If you're ever any of those intersections, you understand. It's just that overhang. It's just a dark shadow. It's crazy when you're under it because you hear noises from forever. You hear an ambulance and you don't know if it's next to you or atop you or whatever.
Right.
But it's just that sense of community.
And my sense is that the ambulances try to avoid that area because you don't know if you're
going
to get backed up. So if they have more options to get to the hospitals, that's better too. You know, when you're a kid, you read about the trolls under the bridges.
Yeah.
And I always feel like a troll under a bridge when I'm there.
No, it's and what wasted space too. Yes. You know, I mean, you look at all that, and in some places, you know, in a portion of that, there's another road that's under it, but a lot of it is not. It's just literally wasted space,
and not pleasant.
Right.
You know, and I think that's not how you want to welcome your people to the area too.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting. And then what I'm really impressed with is how well it's been planned.
Yeah.
With doing all the work on 481 first in anticipation of people being taken around the city.
Yeah.
So you can when I come into the downtown right now, I can still come straight into downtown. But there's a lot of construction going on 481.
Right.
I can't get off 481 onto 81 right now because of the construction that's going on. But that will open up this year, from what I understand. Then on the north side of Syracuse, it's the opposite, mm-hmm. and they're doing exactly the same thing out there, and they're already starting to open some of that up, which they're calling them flyover highways, I guess. And so it's exciting.
It is.
It's going to change the
very
look.
Exciting.
Yeah.
All of it. It sort of reminds me of when I was younger, and you visit Florida, you had family down there, and they would say, you know, it was booming at the time, and. Right. They would talk about, you know, you got to get a new, this is before GPS, you got to get a new map every year because there's literally roads that didn't exist the year before because things are growing. I feel like that's the way we're getting here.
I'm really impressed with how GPS is keeping up with this too. It didn't used to be this way.
Right.
When it first came out for consumers to use, and I remember, you know, going to areas and they would say there's no turn by turn.
Yeah,
available for you, and you didn't have your map in your car anymore, yep. and you went, oh no.
Yep.
So it's exciting, and they're already it already tells you about the high with the construction that's going on, and there's a lot of construction going on right now.
That's incredibly handy. You got to be smart enough to check it before you leave the house.
Yes.
Not as you're pulling up to the traffic jam, going, oh, right. I should check the traffic.
No.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere for 2 hours.
Well, I think the more modern ones are really alerting you on that now, which is giving you an opportunity if you can to get off the highway, which is great.
No, you're absolutely correct. Let's see. So we're running tight. Do you want to get into the buying office?
I think we're good on time. I think we've done it. If that's okay with you guys, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think let's leave that other topic for another day and
perfect.
Bring in some people to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I think this is good.
Great.
All right. So Christine, let's talk about what folks can expect in future episodes of everybody's favorite podcast. What do you got lined up for us?
Well, I have a great couple of guys from Rochester who want to come on and talk about how they finance their acquisitions. And they've just made some good size acquisitions in Syracuse. So I'm hoping to have them on next month or the following month.
If you don't mind, just a little tease when you say how they financed. It sounds like it's something more interesting than they went to the bank and applied for a loan.
Very much so. So they have private equity.
Okay.
And I imagine they have a combination with banks also.
Yeah.
But instead of someone never being able to invest in an apartment building because they're never going to have the 25 or 20% that they might need to do but they might have 5%.
I see.
And so they will get together 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 different individuals and put together a private equity LLC and invest in a building. And it'll be passive. They have no responsibility for the building.
Very
interesting. And, you know, you're not going to get the calls at 2 o'clock in the morning that something isn't working. And you're in the real estate business.
Wow. That's going to be awesome.
And a lot of that, not a lot of that has been done in this area. There's a few people doing it, but not many. So I've been watching these guys, and I think they'd be very interesting guests.
I'm already interested. Let's do that one right now.
All right.
What else we got lined up?
So I have a really nice insurance broker who's going to come on and talk about business brokerage, business insurance, both for your company as well as your buildings, and liability, which I think is a huge, huge. And I think sometimes people don't remember to keep their liability coverage up as they grow and have more assets. So she'll talk about that and I think things that the insurance companies are looking for, because that's important. Insurance is a big expense of, let's say, an apartment building.
Yeah.
And so if you can make your building more attractive to an insurance person and to the person looking at it for the insurance company, then you'll get a better rate.
Less risk for them.
Less risk, exactly. And everyone's risk adverse, whether it's the bank or the insurance companies today. And I really want to have someone come on and talk about 1031s, which are tax-free exchanges, which I always say these are where you have to dot the I's and cross the T's big time. Because if you don't follow the rules for tax-free exchanges, impeccably, you will lose all of your advantages. And it'll be way too late for you to do something else at that point. So it's really important that you have the right advisors on that.
And for those who don't know, I'm going to assume that has something to do with real estate?
It has everything to do with real estate. Okay. And like-kind exchanges and deferring your taxes.
I see.
And I always say that I know enough about it to talk about it, but to mostly just tell you that you should get an expert on it to advise you.
Is this one of those, and again, we'll obviously let you get into it on that episode, but is this one of those strategies where folks talk about how they use the purchase of property to defer some income tax?
Yes. So gotcha. If you, just a short example, sure. If you sell your property and your income tax is X, you may be able to defer that gain until you buy two or three or four other properties down the road.
Oh, wow.
But again, they have to be, you have to really follow
the rules. Just right.
Right. And you can't touch the money.
Oh.
So that's really important. And you know, we'll have someone come on and talk about that and who holds that money and what can, you can't take it out of your account, and use it and then say, okay, I'm going to use a part of this to move forward on another building. You can't do any of that. It has to sit with somebody who's licensed to do this and knows what they're doing with it.
Wow.
So it's not impossible to understand, but it's one of those things that you don't really have a recovery period. You got to do it right the first time.
This is why this is the best show, man. So many interesting things.
Yes. And I would love to hear what people want to know more about, because okay. I don't think we started out really necessarily to be educational with sure. this show, but I think it's becoming that, and I'm Absolutely. Happy about that. So I'd love to hear what people want to hear.
That's great. If you want to learn about all these different things, I didn't even know this tax thing existed, and now I'm definitely interested. So
great.
This is so cool.
Thank you.
Reach out to Christine on all the socials where you see this, anywhere you found this podcast. Leave a comment, send a message, and we'll make sure that it gets covered.
I'd love to hear from everybody.
Christine, thank you for letting me join you again on your show.
Thank you, Matt. I really appreciate it.